So, when we did the interview first, it was like around the time of the release of the album.
Yes.
So, are you satisfied with the response to the album?
Yeah, so far it's been great. And, you know, obviously we got such a good response that we were able to come and do this tour, which was a huge opportunity for us. And, yeah, really going good so far.
Yeah, but the only bad thing about that tour for me is like with four bands, it always shortens the stage time of every band.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but on the other side, it gives bands like us who don't have such a high profile a big chance to expose themselves nowadays, especially to such a crowd. And you know, obviously because of our musical background, which is based on Overkill, Megadeth, and all these bands, we expose ourselves to the right audience.
And it's like the old guard taking out the new guard.
I mean, they're around for a long time.
Oh yeah.
So
and you can tell because when they play.
Yeah, no, I saw them on the very first tour in Europe.
Really?
In '86, May '86, almost 24 years also. That was a good, cool lineup of Agent Steel and Anthrax.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
The triple
bill.
That was really cool. A lot of things changed on that. But as you mentioned, Megadeth, Ben, I have to ask what you think about being David Ellison being back in the band.
Oh,
great
news.
just going off topic.
Great news for heavy metal, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I think having Mustaine and Ellison back. Megadeth is Mustaine and Ellison, really.
Yeah.
To a lot of
fans.
Sure.
Probably the hatchet because of his Christianity, as he said, but, you know.
I think it's great, you know, it's just about music and making a decision for their fans, and I'm a huge fan. So,
yeah. And, I mean, I think it's cool just that it happened at this time, in a way, because so they're doing the tour in the US,
Exactly. Maybe that'll come to England, too, or Europe.
Hopefully.
So.
Yeah, I mean they didn't came over for Endgame yet here, so
no, not yet.
So we have to see. But I know already that a few people complained that you just have such a low short stage time because they would like to see more of you there. So like, why didn't you have Cooper? And then would that be enough to have you on the bill and not Cooper with you?
I mean,
so that you have more time.
That's nice if people say that. That's cool.
Yeah, we're from a lot of people who come to say, yeah, but who is Suicidal Angels? I don't know them. I don't know Cripper. I want to see Overkill and Savage Messiah. It's such a great album.
That's
cool.
Brilliant.
Thank
you. That's very nice to hear, yeah.
I mean, I'm bridging the air, yes.
No, it's just that, I mean, like, we just had one show where there was, like, loads of technical problems and, you know, everything overran, and we just got to play three songs when we were in Ultimate, which was the real bummer. But
well, but technical problems.
What can you do? You know,
when you're on a time schedule.
But since then, I mean, you know, everyone's like has worked really, really well, and everything's running. Like last night was like clockwork, really, really good. And Denmark was the same. So hopefully, you know, carrying on tonight, we'll get more than three songs.
Well, we all hope for that, I guess.
Yeah.
So how is it being on tour? I mean, this is your first real tour for you.
Yeah.
Not just playing with
It's exciting because, especially, well, at the very beginning, you don't ever know how the other bands are character-wise. And we jumped on the bus here, and it turned out that everybody's really, really easygoing. I mean, that's just the bands here on the bus. And then the first couple of days, obviously, again, to know, like, the members of Overkill. And it turned out that they're absolutely fantastic. No rockstar attitude whatsoever, just sitting around, just having a chit-chat, having a beer, and everything is relaxed and helpful. And yeah, the tour itself, I mean, the response so far from the crowd was great, so
yeah, well, tonight is the fifth show of the tour, and
it's quite early on this tour.
Yeah, it's pretty early days, but I mean, everyone's looking after themselves with, like, no craziness, or, I mean, it's been some partying from everyone, but Yan, we had a day off in Denmark, so people were allowed to party.
It is sort of
a party, but I think everybody sees the crowd on a professional level, because it's not the 80s anymore where you get absolutely smashed down the next morning, you wake up with, I don't know, what kind of hangover. Exactly,
yeah.
And then go on stage and still totally hungover. I think everybody takes it really seriously, like, which is a really good thing, because after at the end of the day, we had a couple of parties here and everybody got drunk, but some of us. Dave doesn't drink, which is good as well. But everybody is responsible enough to actually stop the party at one or two. Everybody goes to the bunk beds in the morning. Everybody
got to get plenty of sleep.
Unloading.
I mean, at the start of the tour, the first sort of two gigs, you can see us sort of really, well, hey, here we are, and you're running on the adrenaline. Mm. And then a couple more shows in, you do start feeling like, well, we're gonna have to do this for the rest of the month, so
we've
got to take it easy, and you know.
I mean, obviously, the first 2 days are the most exciting ones because it's new to us, and Yeah.
It's great to do it in style though, and, you know, and it's nice bass and it's comfortable,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely better than, like, our first tour Overkill did at that time, because at that time you didn't have the nightliner, so it was like you stayed in the hotel, but had to get up early because you were transported with some van up to the next city, so it wasn't that much better. And during the day you had no place to stay. I mean, you stayed in the venue, but if it's like here, you don't have much space backstage, then anyway, we met several bands, and it can be quite annoying because they're on a very small space, and so you can some stay inside, some kind of go on the bus, so it's more relaxed these days.
In all fairness, I mean, if we would have been the only support band or something, I think we would have ended up in the same situation, because it's always dancing for them.
Yeah, that's the point for many of them.
We are quite in a lucky position to actually...
You know, budget-wise, with every, you know, having three support bands enables us to be able to do it in the comfort, because otherwise we wouldn't.
I mean, there's no way you'd be able to fit 18 people.
There is one nightliner for 20 people. I've seen it.
Oh, really?
And it's just an absolutely nightmare, bro.
Well,
we
have to say, this year is a 16 one, a 16 bunk bed, and we had...
And
actually,
sleeps in the cupboard.
We had all the cleaning materials and everything out, because there's an extra bunk bed, which is normally for the driver, but the driver's nowadays sleeping actually in this...
They've got
the front
thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, it was a bit complicated, but we started everything.
I mean, for us, it's great to finally get out of England, because, you know, we've always wanted to come here to Germany and tour, so it's like, wow.
And playing to some really good crowds as well, you know, some of those are the biggest crowds that we've played to so far. So.
And I think on this tour you come to a few other places you wouldn't have...
Slovakia, Spain, it's going to be interesting. We've got two shows in England.
Speaking for myself, I mean, the main name was actually Germany, simply because it's a very small country. You've got Crazer, you've got Solid, you've got Destruction, you've got all these bands come from here, and
I think especially
here, in this part of Germany, because of the entire industrial area, Sodomar from Gelsenkirchen and stuff like that.
Yeah, and Creator from Essen, just around the corner.
We stayed in Essen on our first night here. We walked around the coal mine there, and... That was cool.
But that's what's interesting these days. I think it's the eastern parts of Europe, because they don't have so many tours, not everybody's going there. So right now there's the audience is still hard to see bands.
It depends. I mean, the east of Germany were just playing Berlin, and I mean Berlin obviously the capital and everything. I don't think it's going to be.
The eastern parts of Germany. I mean the eastern parts of Europe.
Sorry. Yeah.
I thought about. Hungary, Czech Republic, Poland, and
stuff
like that.
It'd be great if we were going there. I mean, we're just going to Slovakia on this tour, but maybe...
Yeah, but this is the first step into the eastern part.
It's a good one,
you know. I mean, so far, from what I know, we didn't get much response from that, so we don't know if it's going to be a good show, if it's going to be a bad show, if we're going to go
well. Well, on the other hand, I think sometimes the fans there, they don't see so much concerts, so they probably even go to a band to see a band live and let them do the convincing on stage. I mean, they probably don't know your material, but then it's up to you to convince them.
But
on the other hand, it's not like this is a bill where some bands are very different bands.
No.
I mean, everybody differs a bit, but it's still targets the same audience.
The end of the day,
I was talking to Bobby Blitz about that, and he was just saying that to have longevity in metal, it's about shades of grey. You know, you've got to mix your own shade of grey, and if you can do that, then you will have be able to have a career. So I think that's that.
You have to say on one side, you have to have your own sound that people can identify you, and on the other side, you have to vary a bit so it doesn't get too boring for everybody after a while.
And even for yourself as well.
But we could still do like some side projects if you feel like to easier.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, getting music out into the world and heard and finding an audience is just how, you know, I mean, with social networking and the internet, it's just very very easy for bands these days.
Yeah, for some it's even easier than for others. I mean, I'm just thinking about this Barren Earth project now, where it's kind of an all-star band already, even if not like an all-star band, like having some really big names on it, but it's Manu Sami from Creator is there, as well as some members of Swallow the Sun are involved, and so there's a lot of pressure on the other hand, I mean, as a creator, but you always have time to...
Sasha's parents are here. they're German, these Sasha's German. So.
So, are there any festivals planned for you, or is it too early to
move? We're doing one in England called Hammerfest, which is...
Okay, that's mid of March?
Yeah.
End of March, something
early
like
March.
That?
Middle March, isn't it?
And that's, Iceberg's headlining that.
Yeah, that's why I remembered it, to be honest.
There's a lot of killer bands.
But
it's going to be playing a big crowd.
I'm going back with Iceberg for a couple of years. I've been with them in Athens when they did the recordings for the live album. So
live in Athens.
So it would be cool to see them again. But they don't come over this time. They just do the festival. And
they did some gigs with Priest, didn't they? With Judas Priest in Germany not long ago.
There's a lot on the Hammerfest. There's a lot of just only UK exclusives for that particular festival. Just showing.
I mean, it makes sense to bring bands, because if you play here and there, then people's interest is limited if you do too much shows. So it's also with the festivals, like pretty often you have bands who just play like two shows, one in Wacken and one in Czech Republic as Masters of Rock. Because if they play every other festival, then it's not why should people go to this one? So it's a contractual thing, which is sure the organizers have to make their money as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we have no other at the moment confirmed for any of the festivals, but we'll see. Hopefully.
Well, apart from one, which is in Wales.
Yeah.
That's Hammerfest, which
we've
been talking about.
Sorry, wasn't it? But we're working hard, to see what other, whether tours,
this tour represents the first opportunity for us, so depending on how well it goes and how well we do on it, that will sort of decide whether or not we'll get other offers and that kind of thing.
Have you already started working on new material?
Yeah, because we had a slight lineup change. We changed our drummer.
Which is for most people not that important if the drummer changes.
Nah.
As long as it's not Dave Lombardo or something like that.
We have a new drummer. He's not on the tour with us at the moment because he's a Colombian and we're just sorting out his visa. So that's why we have Pete, who's our old drummer, who's coming to help us. not the drummer that we just parted with, the original drummer.
Basically, I'm just a hired gun. That's why I'm just sitting here chilling, not saying too much.
This new drummer we've got is very, very exciting. He recorded second record with Dragon Force, and he's a very, very, very good drummer. And we've already got eight ideas sort of cooking, ready to go, and we're going to just keep refining and sort of mould our direction, sort of where we want to go with the next record, what we want to do.
But I think also that tour is pretty good because it's kind of, usually a band, when after being on tour, is a little bit tighter still, and better together, working together on a different level than afterwards.
Yeah,
at least it should be that way, and most of the times it is. But so I think probably, and also give influence probably made you come up with some ideas which
listening to Overkill, some of their grooves that they've got there, you sit and watching them thinking like, a bit of elements like that, which quite like to take from that. Obviously, mould it in our own style, but absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I thought also you fit very well on this on the bill, because it works very well with Overkill and your kind of music.
Thank you.
And I know like a lot of people who are like Overkill also like your album, because it's like you come 25 years later as well.
Yeah.
Everybody has to sell one point at a time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this kind of music, it's a bit more unusual in England, but then England never really produced any kind of heavy hitting thrash bands anyway. Whereas in Europe, metal's been strong for so long, and there's been so many great European bands flying the flag that for them to see bands doing what we're doing, it's actually not that unusual.
Yeah, I mean, Germany had a quite good thrash metal scene.
Still has.
I mean, but these days there are bands coming from all over the world playing thrash metal. But when it started was mainly in the U.S., East Coast, West Coast thing, and in Germany more or less.
Yeah.
That's where the thrash metal bands came from.
Yep. Yeah.
And then it spread it. Like now they come from everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, from Greece band now. From Greek,
to sort of things like with the advent of the internet, bands in South America that wouldn't have had the opportunity otherwise. If they've got the internet, they can get their music heard.
Or like 20 years ago with the Eastern European parts, who's being behind the Iron Curtain, they have no chance. Now, right now, it's more and more bands coming from there.
It's been a big sort of, I mean, a lot of the Eastern bands that I know of seem to be quite extreme. A lot of the Polish bands
there were also some kind of, let's say, old school thrash metal bands around. But also they bring some new influences, and I think that's what's healthy, because if everyone would think the would be boring. So.
I mean, like, with our music, what we're trying to do really is, it is kind of quite old school, but we give it a modern production, and we give it kind of
it
that
sounds
vibe.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Still, if it's old school, it sounds fresh.
Yeah, I think that's because, you know, the technology is available to make it sound killer, so that's really, you know, a lot of the times in the 80s, maybe records didn't sound that great because of technology and budgets, whereas now,
but then on the other end, with people, or more and more people using just MP3 files, the technic quality is not that good now, so it's... And well, you can do the recordings now from the technical standpoint. For many, it was the MP3s it's, and the lower end of the quality from playing it.
But, I mean, we don't really break any new ground, but it's not really our intention to. You know, we're not trying to be the most original band. Like
I think that's almost impossible these days.
Yeah,
Shades of Grey, you know, we're trying to make our own Shade of Grey. You know, that one day people will be able to listen to it and go... Wow, that's them, that's Savage Messiah. I mean, being a young band, I think if you go back and listen to even the first Overkill or even the first Iron Maiden record, you know, every young band wears their influences on their sleeve, and that's where we're at the moment. So to us, that sort of...
Yeah, I mean, that's the music you grew up with.
Yeah.
To say it that way, I mean, and so it influenced you, that's quite the usual thing.
The way it goes, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so I would say thank you. And we talk next time when you have
absolutely.
A new album, or
yeah.
if you come around before that.
Fingers crossed. Hopefully we'll get an auditorium.
Or a festival.
Awesome festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always a chance.
Greatest opportunity.
We're open-minded. Anything that comes our way, we'll you know, aim to do it.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, that's the way it should be.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.